It's been a busy day. We're working on a number of different things here today, going over the Giants game, of course, and making some evaluations, but also not just the players, but also some of the things that we were doing and trying to work through our roster situation. Starting to finish pulling all the information together on Buffalo from the preseason, and then of course you have all the trans. And then you have all the other things going on around the league of other teams' cuts and different personnel moves and so forth, and trying to evaluate all those different variables. So we're working on it. You have the transactions from today. It's never easy. This is the hardest couple days of the year, really, for I'm sure all the coaches in the National Football League to. Tell players that have been working hard this year and in other cases maybe a lot of years before that, such as Billy Yates, that you're going to have to release him today, and that's a tough conversation to have. And as I said, Billy's been one of our real solid guys here through the years, very dependable, very tough. Comes to work every day, gives you 110%. Really is, a guy that, every coach would love to have on his team. So, that was a hard one. But in any case, we're moving forward through the process, and that'll be done, completed by tomorrow and be in compliance with the league roster limits, and in conjunction with that, trying to, get our team ready for opening day, but also with an eye toward all 16 games and having the best roster and best team that we can have for the long term, as well as for opening day against Buffalo. So that's the activity here over the weekend.
Go ahead.
Bill, with today's release of Andrew Walter, you guys currently have two quarterbacks on the roster. Do you envision going forward with just two, or do you think there'll be a third option there?
That's really a hard question to answer, Mike. I'm not sure. We'll have to wait and see what our different options are, not only what players are available in one way or another, but also in terms of how we want to manage our roster. And so there's so many moving parts to all the process with different positions, and then with the overall makeup of the team, and looking at the active, the 45-man active roster, and then the different players that might or might not be available throughout the league. So I'd say it's a possibility, not a certainty, and we'll just evaluate it on a case-by-case basis as to how we feel. The best makeup of our roster for this year will be.
And does the history of Julian Edelman having played quarterback in college but not playing it in the pros, is that at all a factor in that decision, or is he really not really part of that quarterback-specific decision-making process?
I don't think that's really much of a factor in it, Mike. He's worked as a receiver and as a returner, and we feel like that's really his position, and that's where he'll continue to get most of his work. And he needs it there too. I mean, you're talking about converting a guy to that position in the National Football League. There's a lot of things that he needs to learn and practice, and he works hard. Don't get me wrong, but it's just the volume. So I would see him more at those other positions than at quarterback.
Bill, what were the flaws with Andrew Walter? What did you kind of see that made you say, you know what, it might not work here?
I think all the players that were on this team brought a lot of positive qualities and talent to the organization, or we wouldn't have had them here. In the end, we had to select the ones. We'll go through the process of selecting the ones that we feel are best for this team and, in composite and make up the best team, in our opinion. So that's what we've done, and that's what we'll continue to do. I think Andrew had a lot of positives. We talked about those when we signed them, and I still think that they exist. It's just, in the end, we have to make decisions that are in the best interest of the entire football team, and so that's what we're going to do. But we have a lot of players that we release that are talented players that have played in the league or will play in the league or will be competitive to play in the league, and can't keep them all.
I can just ask that the as you're typing, guys, just mute your line so we can keep a clear line here. Go ahead with the next question, guys.
Bill, just kind of shifting gears here a bit. I know Mike Wright didn't play the other day, but I'm just curious what your thoughts on him coming back after kind of missing a portion of August. And also curious as to whether he fits inside the 4-3 a little differently than he would in a 3-4.
Well, Mike played quite a bit last week against Washington, and along with other players that played in that game, we kind of switched the playing time emphasis this week so we could look at some other people with extended playing time. So I think Mike's a versatile player. He's played a lot of different positions for us, both in the really on all the linemen. He's been on a tackle, he's been on a guard, he's been on a center in different schemes. And I think he has, you know, the ability to be effective at all those. The techniques are different and the reads are a little bit different, but Mike has the overall strength and quickness to be able to match up at a number of those different spots. So that's why he's done those, and he'll probably continue to do them.
Bill, just quick, I missed the beginning of this, but is there any update on Matthew Slater at this time?
No. We'll evaluate all the players here over the next, couple days, and try to get a little more information, and we'll have all that for you on the Wednesday injury report, I'm sure.
Bill, could you comment on Terrence Nunn and what he's done since you've brought him into camp in terms of maybe carving out a role for himself, whether it's on the roster or possibly on the practice squad?
Well, Terrence has made some impressive plays for us, and he's a player that was very productive in college in a different type of offense, different type of passing game, but he's adapted to what we're doing and learning every day, and becoming a better route runner and a better technique player to go along with his physical skills. So he's continued to make progress on a steady basis, and a lot of things to catch our eye, and everybody, the fans and everybody else seeing him play. We got a lot making solid progress, and had an impressive game last night.
Last year, if I recall, Bill, you kept five running backs, and this year it's possible that it could be five again. And as you sort of construct the 53-man roster, I was just curious, if you keep five backs, you have to pull, obviously, from somewhere else. And I'm just curious, where you see that tug of war and how tough that decision might be for you.
Right. Well, last year we kept, five backs, three of the guys that are here, and then Lamont and Heath. And, the decision to how many skill players to keep when you look at, tight ends, receivers, backs. As we know, you can only put five of them out there at a time. And so depending on how you construct your roster, you have more or less depth at one of those positions. But, then it also plays into the linebacker position on defense as it relates to the kicking game, because those players generally have a similar type of job or possibly some return ability, but in the coverage game, more similar tight end. So that's really what it comes down to. I think, in the end, just to sum it up, when you look at all the things that have to be done on your football team, offense, defense, special teams, goal line to multiple receivers and multiple defensive back groups, nickels and dimes and three receivers and four receivers and all that. You got to have a team that gives you that can do the things you want it to do in terms of personnel groupings, and have some depth on that, and also be able to handle all the responsibilities in the kicking game, from gunners to inside coverage people to wedge blockers to guys that can play in the wing on the punt team and all that. So you look at a lot of people doing different things in training camp to kind of evaluate your depth, and then when you come down to get your roster, you have to make sure that all those spots are covered. And it's really a mosaic of all that. It's not just a third down running back versus another third down running back. It's all the other things that come into play there that those players would do, or the other value that they would bring to your roster, that maybe if they do them, then you don't need somebody else somewhere else to do them, or if they don't do them, then you do need somebody somewhere else, or somehow you've got to get those things filled. So that's, it's a very inexact science, and with 53 players, which is really only 45, just can't have the depth that every coach would like to have. Some positions you have it, other positions you don't. I don't think there's really any way to ever have the kind of depth that all the NFL coaches would like to have on their roster. It's just not possible. So you pick and choose where you want to have it and the quality of it, and then you go with it. And if something happens, then you make adjustments along the way. So we're working our way through that process.
Bill, speaking of those adjustments, you have obviously to set a 53-man roster tomorrow, but there's always been a lot of change after that. Do you feel that there's a little bit more time, and because of scheduling along, to make the final decisions you have to make to head into the season?
Well, I think you always want to make them as quickly as possible. The sooner you can get to where you want to be and work with it, probably the better off your execution and everybody's understanding of what their role is, and the better they'll be at it. So that's ideally what you want to do. Is that always possible? No. Is there flexibility and movement on your roster after you make the decision on Saturday and Sunday and set up your practice squad and all that? I think historically you find that there's still a decent amount of roster movement in those first two or three weeks of the season, just of trying to get strengthening your roster where you can, and then usually after that it's more a reaction to events or something that's happening on your team that you need to address the change. But I think those first two or three weeks are still a pretty good opportunity to juggle things around to try to strengthen your roster and get maybe address depth concerns that we probably all feel like we have when you make the final cut down to 53. Adjust those as you go in the first two, 3 weeks of the season.
Bill, have you had any conversations with Philadelphia in the last 24 hours?
We have conversations with every team in the league at this time of year. That's just part of the communication, and that's what time of year it is with personnel.
Coach, I'll end it with this one. There's a participant that couldn't unmute his line, so he emailed me a question. Just wants to know what you like about Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis at the running back position and on special teams.
Well, I think the thing that we really like about Benny is his production. When he's had a chance to play, he's been productive in all phases of the game, as a runner, as a pass protector and a blocker, and as a pass catcher and a receiver. And then in the kicking game, he brings that same athleticism that we see when he runs the ball, and the same toughness. He brings that to the kicking game and in the coverage area, and also with as a blocker and in the return game. So he's pretty valuable player that's versatile, smart, tough, and when he's had a chance to play, he's he's taken advantage of it and been productive. Stacey, I just want to compliment you in your goal of questioning.
I think that was the first time I've ever asked a question on a conference call. Thanks, everyone. Thank you, Coach.
All right, thank you.